This is about enjoying the ride. This doesn't mean that you should have no goals in life or that you have to end up being some kind of aimless drifter. It means you hold your goals so lightly that they can be dropped, if necessary, at any point. To have your dreams come true in life, you have only to remember this one thing. Stop being so serious. The 46th City. Ecstasy. The Orgasmic Inner World. The 46th City is one of those cities that really is challenging to put into words. Ecstasy is not a word that most people consider when they think of themselves and their own lives. And yet, it is this block at the mental level that keeps you at a frequency far from ecstasy. That is the trick with these words for the cities. If you can open your heart to receive the frequencies they represent, the frequencies begin to seek you out. Siddhic states are all a matter of magnetism. You have to expand yourself far enough to become one pole of the energy field, to be the negative pole or the attractor. This is exactly what we humans are, receiving dishes for universal frequencies. If you can expand your consciousness far enough, then the highest frequencies actually descend into you. Ecstasy is the highest frequency of the 46 gene key, and it occurs only through the heart. It is, in fact, the true nature of humanity. At this level of consciousness, which is really beyond all levels, the ecstatic realization of your true nature is so strong that it silences your mind the moment it is no longer needed. You may think it is impossible for a normal person to live in a state of ecstasy and function in the world. Not true at all. Ecstasy is your state whenever your mind comes to complete rest. In other words, as soon as your mind is required in the world, the ecstatic state fades into the background and your activity moves to the foreground. Then, as soon as your activity is complete, the ecstatic state returns. In this state, your mind is as silent as your life path dictates. People who manifest this city cannot go unnoticed in the world. There are cities that can be hidden from most people's awareness, but the 46th city is not among them. The jacuzzi of love that swirls around these people is so tangible that it can even be felt by people of the densest frequency. If you are highly developed in your own frequency, you can physically feel such a person's aura from miles away. People who manifested this ecstatic city in the past have left its imprint in the place where they lived, even though they may have passed away hundreds or thousands of years ago. It is not that this 46th city is any more powerful than any other city, because in essence they are all the same, but that this manifestation of divine consciousness lies so close to the physical realm and emerges so strongly through the physical body. The purpose of the ring of matter is to be penetrated completely by the spirit. When this occurs, ecstasy is the organic result. Children who are brought into this world surrounded by the energy of delight are children who need never leave the state of ecstasy. Ecstasy also comes in waves, in orgasms that travel through the noosphere or universal quantum field in which we live. The more people who experience such orgasmic energy coursing through their higher bodies, the more our planet will be transformed. One day, very soon, entire communities around the world will experience group awakenings in this orgasmic way. The orgasmic energy will actually pass like a wave through the fractal lines of humanity. There is actually no work more important on this earth than play. When we become truly playful, we reshape the nature of our collective reality. This is the great truth of the 46th city and is its vast importance to today's modern, over-serious world. Only ecstasy can silence the mind. Only ecstasy can solve the problems of the world. Only ecstasy can lead to world peace and universal love. Those who have allowed themselves to be overcome by the 46th city are so overflowing with their own ecstasy that they rarely have been able to find words for their experience. Those who have found words have nearly always spoken in poetry, which is the language of love. Such men and women, the ecstatics, have not always found it necessary to remove themselves from the world, but have found their love within the world of ordinary life. The 46th city revels in the experience of the marketplace, the family, and the ordinariness of the world. These people do not really care what happens to them, because the heart makes none of the distinctions that the mind makes. Like a swallow darting about the skies, the heart swoops down upon life, playing and delighting with every waking moment and experimenting with every conceivable experience it can find. The heart doesn't care a tick about success or failure, past or future, life or death. It knows only that it is alive and beating right now, and that realization floods the being with the sweet liquid wine of ecstasy. Your ability to attune to the ecstatic nature of your body depends upon your ability to let go of your mind and open your heart. It depends upon how grateful you feel towards existence for giving you this body and the experience of being alive. If you have felt this ecstatic feeling even once in your life, then you can recreate it. And even if you haven't felt it, you can open yourself to it. It lies within you right now, at the exact moment of your hearing this. It will always remain with you, waiting quietly within the very ventricles of your physical heart. All you have to do is invite it back into your life. 47th Gene Key. Transmuting the Past. Programming Partner, 22nd Gene Key. Codon Ring, The Ring of Alchemy. 6, 40, 47, 64. Physiology, neocortex, amino acid, glycine. The 47th shadow, oppression, the magic mirror. The 47th shadow provides human beings with one of the greatest keys to the mystery of suffering. Within this 47th gene key lurks a vast reservoir of darkness in the form of inheritable ancestral anguish. The 47th shadow is the storehouse of human karma. What we term as karma really refers to memory, but not memory as we commonly understand the term. The memory of the 47th shadow is genetic memory carried in our blood. However, this is not readable memory that can be deciphered through logical sequencing. In genetics, the 47th shadow refers to what is called non-coding DNA, also known more commonly as junk DNA. These chemical signatures are evolutionary artifacts passed down through our collective ancestral bloodlines. Although no clear function has yet been ascribed to this DNA, it accounts for a stunning 98% of our genome. This ancestral storehouse does indeed serve a huge purpose, as yet unseen by science. It is the very turbine of human evolution. The hidden reason and function of this DNA is revealed in its entirety through this 47th gene key. The reason that science cannot decode the 47th shadow is because history is not linear but random, and random patterns cannot be solved through logical methods. Random patterns can only be resolved or read by fractal geometry, which reads chaotic patterns using holistic laws. The fact is that every human being carries the entire evolutionary memory of humanity within their body. This also means that we are unconsciously driven by this memory. When a person finds a way to access their deep unconscious, they are really accessing the collective unconscious. If they are not mentally and spiritually prepared for this event, they will very likely become deeply disturbed or delusional. The only language that can comprehend this world is the language of archetypes, such as the language used by Jungian psychology, the arcane symbolism of the alchemists, or the ancient totemic language of the shaman. The language of archetypes, which is what the 64 gene keys are based upon, allows us humans to look into the hidden side of our nature, to step into the perilous shamanic underworld of the collective unconscious without becoming personally identified with what we see there. When the shaman goes into the underworld of the unconscious, he or she uses the language of his own totems to navigate this realm. In doing so, he can intuitively locate the specific shadow aspects of a person's unique genetic coding and bring them to light. Whether he interprets these aspects as demons or animals or anything else is irrelevant. What matters is that they represent the specific fear patterns of a certain individual. The true psychoanalyst works in the same way. Instead of attempting to find reasons for our psychoses and fears in our childhood, he or she understands that they are really archetypal aspects of one single universal primal fear. We each come into the world with certain prime archetypes that represent our fears, and in addition to this, our life story presents other archetypes for us to address as we follow our destiny in the world. The 47th shadow is an access portal through which these deep fears flow into our waking consciousness. This is why the ancient Chinese named this hexagram oppression, because such fears become major burdens in our life if we do not face them directly. Very few people willingly confront their shadow archetypes in life. They do not want to stare down the barrel of the 47th shadow, because the deeper they look, the deeper the rabbit hole seems to go. Thus they simply live in denial or reaction to these unconscious fear patterns, not realizing that their outer lives are a direct reflection of this repression. To really look deeply into your fears is to undergo a major transmutation, one which eventually becomes cosmic and even mythic at the Siddhic level, as we shall see. But transmutations are not a comfortable business for people at the shadow level of consciousness, because to go through such an alchemical process, you have to let go of all definitions of who and what you are. What we humans don't realize is that the grail we seek is hiding beneath our fear. The very thing that terrifies you the most is your route to a higher evolution. This is why all mainstream religions are founded upon the duality of good and evil. In keeping evil separate from good, we are actually denying the very part of our nature that will allow us to directly experience the divine. Evil is nothing but our fear manifested in the world. The programming partner of the 47th shadow is the 22nd shadow of dishonor. Your denial of your own shadow is not only a dishonoring of yourself, but of life itself. If you cannot honor yourself, then you certainly cannot honor others. It means that you listen to someone through your own agenda, so you only hear what you want to hear. You carefully edit out all that junk DNA that you don't want to look at in yourself. This whole process between these two shadows creates a biofeedback loop that conceals more and more repressed memories. We are literally reinforcing our self-limiting patterns. The ancients referred to this as the accumulation of karma. This has led to the belief that one can offset this negative karma by doing good deeds to accumulate positive karma. However, such practices never lead to true freedom because your unconscious shadows remain unaccepted and repressed. Religions such as Catholicism found a way of relieving the oppression through the process of confession. Still, confession simply lays the responsibility of your shadows onto an outer manifestation rather than assuming responsibility for your own deeper inner process. Thus the very urge of life to transmute itself is efficiently suppressed. The bottom line with the 47th shadow is that unless you face your own unique fear archetypes, you cannot open the portal to inner transmutation that is the 47th gift. If you do not look your adversity square in the face and realize that it is the very manifestation of your own archetype, you miss the whole point and purpose of your life. Most of the world is still waiting to begin this process. Many who have begun it have become trapped in some therapeutic system that takes away their responsibility, thus further stalling the process. Facing your shadows is a lonely business, and it happens through the process of your natural destiny. It is the thing right in front of your nose that you try to avoid the most. It will not yield to being fixed. It will not be resolved through your mind, and it will keep coming back at you again and again. It cannot be sidestepped or given over to another. Your suffering is a magic mirror. It's yours to own, to appreciate, and to accept. Only when you finally stop trying to avoid it can it show you its magic. Repressive nature. Hopeless. For those with a repressive bent, the 47th shadow provokes a kind of mental collapse. This is the inner oppression in which the mind is utterly overwhelmed with one's life. Because the pattern of oppression shows no signs of being broken, these people simply give up on life at a certain point. They bow to the oppression and accept it as normal. In other words, they give up all hope that their life can get better. Such people live lives of quiet compromise, locked as they are in their closed circuit loop and sealed in by their inability or unwillingness to face their fears. Reactive nature. Dogmatic. Those with a reactive temperament externalize their oppression by projecting it onto others. These people use their minds to control their environment, becoming very dogmatic in their viewpoint. Because of the undercurrent of fear in such people, they try hard to solidify their mental patterns in order to give them the illusion of security. Whether the dogma be a scientific view or a religious one, it effectively freezes them and brings change to a standstill. This kind of nature finds it very difficult to relate with others unless those others buy into their dogmatic viewpoint. Likewise, any kind of free thinking or independence of mind or spirit in another is incredibly threatening to such people. The 47th gift, transmutation, the royal art. It is through the 47th gift of transmutation that the true purpose of your hidden genetic programming, the junk DNA, is finally revealed. Beneath what the left-brain scientists misread as chaos hides one of the great secrets of creation. What geneticists know is that all life evolves through the process known as mutation, a random organic process in which mistakes are made when long strands of genes are copied. Until particle physics came into being, the word transmutation was associated entirely with the ancient science of alchemy. Transmutation involves the complete changing of one element into another, which involves a radioactive process at an atomic level. One might therefore say that mutation is a process of gradual change that may or may not result in transmutation. When a human being faces his or her own shadows, they open the door to the process of transmutation. Hidden in the vast programming of our non-coding DNA are the scripts for the entire history of life on Earth. These scripts are jumbled and twisted around and around each other and are indecipherable to current forms of pattern recognition. However, these scripts create a huge swelling inside the individual, a pressure to continue life's universal storyline through your own life. This is why every human being has an innate sense of their own destiny. Whether you live out that destiny, depends on your willingness to surrender to the pressure of this vast unconscious force coming from within. This is the force of transmutation, and it wants you to surpass yourself. If you let go into your fear of dying, that greatest fear, you will discover the gift of transmutation. Human beings are in fact a rolling wave of consciousness with no fixed identity. We are programmed to continually hit the shores of our limitations and dissolve into something else. For the majority of human beings, safe in their illusion of separateness, this is the greatest terror of all. As one of the vital ingredients in a chemical genetic family known as the Ring of Alchemy, this 47th gift of transmutation is dangerous. The ancient alchemists discovered the archetypes of transmutation and named them, often using the changing of colors, as symbolic of the stages of the process. Although many of these people mistakenly thought of alchemy as a physical practice whereby a base metal might be transmuted into gold, a few understood precisely what alchemy really was. Alchemy, the royal art, is the natural destiny of human beings who live their life totally, embracing everything and holding nothing back. It is the art of living dangerously. This does not mean that you necessarily take outer risks. The danger is to the illusion that there is anything fixed about you. The true human is indefinable because he or she is constantly surpassing all definitions. Alchemy is life. Transmutation is what drives human beings to keep going beyond their wildest dreams. To be in the process of transmutation is to be truly alive. The process of transmutation has actually been described very well by the alchemists. It consists of an endless series of small and often indecipherable mutations leading to a finite number of transmutations. These transmutations are huge turning points in your life. To transmute is to make a quantum leap into a whole new dimension. If you follow the script hidden in your DNA, then you will experience these dimensional shifts in your inner and outer life. Many cultures, mythologies, and mystical systems have described this process of spiritual evolution because it is universal. The only prerequisite for the process to keep moving is a continual surrender to your fears. The moment one fear has been embraced, another reveals itself, and your life moves you to confront the new fear. We each have to take the lid off our Pandora's box, and in doing so, we will discover the layers of oppression that lie within us. As these layers are dissolved one by one, you discard one by one the illusions that you think are protecting you from dissolving yourself. Through this ongoing process of transmutation, you gradually sift through the junk DNA, and in doing so, you begin to see your life on a much wider level of reality. The only way to read these codes is to live them. As you do, they unwind and reveal their true purpose, to return you to the very source of consciousness from which you came. Those with the 47th gift in their hologenetic profile are people who are deeply aware of this alchemical process in human beings. The only way to transcend suffering is to move more deeply into it, embracing every feeling and event that comes to you. This is the way of deep immersion in the currents of life. It is the way of surrender. The 47th Siddhi, Transfiguration, the true meaning of the crucifixion. The 47th Siddhi represents the culmination of the 47th gene key in human form. Transmutation never really ends. It simply outgrows its casing, and this is what occurs through the 47th Siddhi of transfiguration. This word, transfiguration, is almost entirely associated with Christ's ascension and resurrection. It refers to his shining countenance when he reappears after his crucifixion. The life of Jesus Christ is in fact the perfect mythic enactment of all the stages of alchemical transmutation ending in this state of transfiguration. If we can escape the endless dogma and opinion that surrounds the figure of Jesus and view his life at this symbolic level, we can see the great secret of all human life. Christ's life symbolically represents the life of every human when they hold back nothing and embrace everything. There have been descriptions of similar transfigurations throughout the world. Notably, the Tibetans have many records of people attaining the rainbow body. The ancient Taoists of China also have records dating back many centuries of masters who attained a state of transfiguration. This 47th siddhi reveals the ultimate purpose of the non-coding DNA within the body, which actually does code for a process within the physical body after all. The force of transmutation strips you emotionally and mentally to such an extent that it eventually reaches down into the physical matter of your body. The power of the myth then takes over, and the very cells of your body begin to transmute into the pure light frequencies from which they are made. The elements that make up your body were made in stars, and you turn back into a star in your own mini supernova. This is the final state described by the alchemists, the unio mystica, or sacred marriage, in which all your constituent elements dissolve back into one another, and out of your base matter, symbolic gold is formed. Like all the siddhic states, transfiguration is not a common phenomenon. You can see how powerful an influence it has over the world through its manifestation at the end of Jesus's life. Other cultures, where it has happened, have been mainly insular, so, popularly, it has been considered legend. One might ask why it hasn't occurred somewhere more recently in the age where it could be widely reported or even filmed. The answer to that question lies within the script inside our bodies. What is certain is that it will occur again, and probably on a far larger scale than has ever been seen before. Humanity stands upon the threshold of one of its great transmutations. As a species, we are moving through the symbolic time of our crucifixion, and crucifixion precedes transfiguration. Our crucifixion means everything that is old must leave the world as a new light emerges. What must be sacrificed in the coming centuries is our modern world with most of its trappings. As with all transmutations, it is a time of great uncertainty, great fear, and great excitement. On a cosmic level, transfiguration doesn't end. The whole of our planet, humanity, all the creatures and the earth itself will eventually be transfigured. Transfiguration on a social level must include the entire planetary organism, because despite our current perspective, we are really the mind and eyes of the earth rather than being separate from it. There will come a time when all the elements that make up our planet vibrate at such a high frequency that the world, as we know it, will disappear into a field of vibrating light. Before this unprecedented and fantastical event, which is in the far future as we measure time, the phenomenon of individual transfiguration will become more common. This is due to the activation of the 22nd Siddhi of Grace, the programming partner to this 47th Siddhi. These two siddhis operate as one, which means that for an individual to attain the state of transfiguration, he or she has to be touched by divine grace. No one can say when, where, or to whom grace will occur, but it is an aspect of the divine feminine principle, which is a part of the current cycle of incarnations. Divine grace can only touch those who work through the 47th siddhi, because these individuals have to take on the collective karma of the whole of humanity. This is the final great transmutation enacted through the crucifixion. The crucifixion represents the individual's descent into hell, the underworld of the collective unconscious, and the complete submersion in the ancestral pain and suffering of all beings. It is to face the collective fear of humanity that lies within the heart of every human's DNA. One who reaches this level of self-sacrifice calls upon himself or herself the Holy Spirit or Divine Grace, which precedes and enables resurrection and final transfiguration. 48th Gene Key. The Wonder of Uncertainty. Programming Partner, 21st Gene Key. Codon Ring, The Ring of Matter. 18, 46, 48, 57. Physiology, Lymphatic System, Spleen. Amino Acid, Alanine. The 48th Shadow, Inadequacy. EQ and IQ. There is no darker place represented anywhere within human DNA than the 48th Shadow. This shadow gives rise to one of the deepest of human fears, the fear that we are inherently inadequate. Human beings, as a rule, have no idea of their true capabilities. We can look around and see individual examples of great men and women who have displayed remarkable gifts and who have sometimes achieved the miraculous. However, humanity, as it is today, has not waked from its dark dreams. We stand at the cusp of one of the greatest turning points in our evolutionary history, and each of us will have to look deeply into this primal fear if we are to make the great leap that now lies before us. Only during times of great collective crisis is it possible to see the potential of the 48th Gene Key. It seems the medium of crisis is required to bind human beings together. We see this uniting power during times of war, which often activate the higher frequencies of this gene key and allow groups of people to operate as a single entity, overcoming great odds and performing incredible feats rarely seen in peacetime. This phenomenon says much about the nature of the 48th gene key, which, at its source, is a power rooted in communion and service. Because humanity is now facing its greatest ever crisis, namely the destruction of our own environment, the potential of this 48th gene key is urging us to dig deep into our souls for collective and practical resolutions. In the years ahead, we are going to have to understand this 48th gene key and the hold that its shadow frequency has over us. Because of its role within the codon group, known as the Ring of Matter, the 48th gene key is one of four gene keys that govern our developmental cycles as children. The 48th gene key imprints us throughout our second seven-year cycle from the age of 7 to 14. This second cycle relates to our emotional development and explains exactly where our feelings of inadequacy come from. As we incarnate into our emotional or astral body, the prevalent emotional patterns of our parents and the world at large are imperceptibly imprinted within our aura. The 48th shadow seeps into our genes to undermine us through a deep sense of emotional inadequacy. As we go through the tender time of puberty, society's conditioning sends us very confusing and contradictory messages about how to handle our emotional and sexual nature. Most people have little idea how profound and delicate this developmental stage is for young people, and for the most part, they are left to deal with it on their own. The result is that few emerge unscathed. Until quite recently, emotions were generally seen as something that undermined intelligence, which was understood as being equated only with rational thinking. Thankfully, emotional intelligence, also known as EQ, is now increasingly recognized by more and more people. The fact is that your EQ is a perfect counterbalance to your IQ, and together they make up a well-rounded, intelligent individual. Most people have never learned to take full responsibility for their emotions. They get caught in the drama of projecting their emotional states onto others. The 48th shadow is responsible for creating these emotionally illiterate generations. If we don't know how to handle emotional states with equanimity, integrity, and clarity, we never fully enter adulthood but remain at some level children. The frequency that the 48th shadow releases into the cells of your body emerges as a profound uncertainty about the future and your ability to handle it. When coupled with its programming partner, the 21st shadow of control, these two shadows program human beings to try to stay in control of every area of our lives. We create a false reality of details, timelines, and systems, all designed to make us feel more secure. The irony is that nothing external can take away our core fear of inadequacy. An even darker side to this shadow concerns the manipulation of this fear as a means of controlling others. The feeling of emptiness experienced at the shadow frequency drives human beings to try to fill this inner void through the acquisition of knowledge. But knowledge cannot take away the fear. Knowledge has both a dark side and a light side. Whereas the light side transforms knowledge into wisdom, its higher counterpart, the dark side, becomes addicted to knowledge as a means of distraction and false security. Human beings have become adept at selling the dream of security, and the fear within the masses buys into it. All systems of knowledge based on logic promise security, and the more complex the system, the more people tend to believe it. This often happens with modern science. The problem is not science itself, which is a wonderful tool as long as it is used in the quest for the spirit of truth. The problem is often the scientists whose findings and theories are used to bolster their own personal agendas and emotional inadequacies. Such people proffer an illusory security screen that covers reality while purporting to explain the universe we live in. The 48th gene key is quite simply beyond human understanding. It is a portal to the infinite, and there is nothing like infinity to raise the specter of inadequacy in the human mind. The original Chinese name for this archetype is the well. When you look down the well, you have no idea how deep it is or what lies at the bottom. The 48th shadow is like a bottomless black hole. It is the primal fear of the feminine and was enacted in archetypal form during the great witch hunts that took place across Europe during the Middle Ages. Out of the 48th shadow, humanity's deep paranoia is born. These are the men in black, the aliens, gods or governments who seem to be manipulating our lives. It is the fear that someone else might be in possession of knowledge that can be used to control you. Of course, the true source of all fear is within, but that does not stop human beings from projecting it outside ourselves onto all manner of people and phenomena. Modern science is only one arena that promises us security from our deepest fears. Systematized religion, economics, and education all try to create the feeling of collective security for the people on our planet. So long as you keep people involved in some sort of system, the deep fear moves into the background. Another major manifestation of this 48th shadow is the urge to create more and more wealth. This urge, too, is rooted in our fear of inadequacy. The ring of matter programs us to try to escape the fear through the material realm rather than turning inward to the source of the discomfort itself. However, no amount of material wealth can make us feel secure, since the fear itself is rooted in the physical structure of our DNA. Ultimately, we humans are a part of the mystery of the universe, and there are places where the mind is not destined to travel. Every human being must eventually turn inward and look into our deepest fear, the fear of the void. When we gather our courage and make that leap, we will discover something wonderful. The void is not empty and cold, but warm, loving, and bursting with light and wonder. Repressive nature. Bland. There are two types of people within the collective shadow frequency. Those who duck their heads and give in to their fears, repressive, and those who project their fears externally onto others, reactive. The repressive nature of the 48th shadow forms the collective blandness of the mass consciousness. These are the sheep whose fears are buried beneath the surface by whatever the system tells them. The majority of people on our planet fall into this category. This consciousness is too afraid to look into the fear within its body, so it settles into the fixed patterns given to it by society. Of course, life arranges events in all people's lives that force them to face their fears. However, unless such events precipitate a major awakening, the repressive nature tends to bury its head even deeper in the sand once such periods pass. Reactive nature. Unscrupulous. The other side of the 48th shadow is seen in those who feed the general sense of inadequacy in others. These are people whose rage does not allow them to admit that they are also afraid, and so they become victims of the system in a different way. These people use their knowledge to manipulate the fears of others while hiding behind the system. They keep their own fear at bay by externalizing it, and they increase the general level of fear by their unscrupulous actions. Such behavior greatly reinforces the shadow frequency. It is because of these people that humanity feels a general paranoia. We know that there are people in positions of power throughout the system who do not care about others at all, but we cannot always see and identify them. This gives us the feeling that all of society is impersonal and beyond our control. The 48th gift, resourcefulness, the light at the bottom of the well. For all its darkness and fear, the 48th gene key holds great hope for humanity, and this hope mostly lies in the hands of parents. We have already seen that the 48th gene key governs our emotional development cycle in childhood. All human emotional issues are rooted in this phase, so it is extremely important that children between the ages of 7 and 14 are given a stable emotional environment in which to develop. Because the emotional or astral body is a subtle layer of the human aura, it learns primarily through the astral bodies of its parents. If a child's parents have not raised the frequency of their DNA beyond the shadow consciousness, their dysfunctional emotional patterns imprint the astral body of the child. Almost all teenagers are wounded by their parents' subtle bodies well before they become teenagers. In psychology, we tend to think of conditioning as behavioral, and it is, but it takes place at a far subtler level than most psychology acknowledges. When you emerge at the age of 14 into your powerful teenage cycle, you either emerge whole, imbued with natural wisdom, emotional intelligence, and internal stability, or you emerge with a profound sense of inadequacy that characterizes your teenage years. There is, however, light at the bottom of the well. As parents heal their own emotional issues and raise the frequency of their DNA, they pass on healthy emotional patterns to their children, who then pass these on to their children. In the last 50 years, this pattern has brought more and more healthy adults into the world. There is no role of greater importance or service to humanity than that of being a parent. It is not only the fastest track to your own healing, but is also the fastest track to the healing of the whole world. Every healthy adult is a powerful resource for the healing of our planet, because such people are not afraid of their true feelings and fears. The astral body of our whole planet is in the process of being healed by the increasing waves of these people operating at the gift frequency. The secret of moving beyond the reach of the 48th shadow can be found in a single word, trust. As you learn to trust on a broader scale, the well begins to reveal some of its secrets. Life invites you to begin by trusting the shadow frequency itself, which means that you have to enter into your fears. Since the 48th shadow is a very physical fear vibration deep within the body, this can be very uncomfortable. This fear does not come and go, but is always there, fixed and focused inside you. By entering into this field of fear, you actually lessen your mental anxiety, even though you cannot remove the fear. It is a process in which you slowly learn to stop being afraid of fear itself. Instead of hiding from the darkness inside you, it is as though you finally lower a bucket down the well and then pull it up to see what it contains. What you receive is a wonderful surprise. Out of the well come all manner of solutions to all manner of challenges in the world around you. You will be amazed that so much light can emerge from such a dark place. This is the essence of the gift of resourcefulness. As you learn to trust that an answer will always emerge at the right moment in your life, your sense of fear and anxiety gradually begin to fade. The wonderful thing about the gift of resourcefulness is that it is self-fulfilling. Each time the bucket comes up out of the well, it contains exactly what is needed at that particular moment. In this way, trust leads to deeper trust, reinforcing inner security through repetition. Gradually, your fear of inadequacy is proven to be an illusion. It doesn't matter where your projected fear hides. It could be your fear of being alone, your fear of not having enough money, or your fear of running out of time. Deep within you lies a self-sustaining and unlimited resource that can always provide a solution to your imagined fear. These solutions come to you when you arrive at the moment of fear open, unreactive, vulnerable, and unknowing. It is through your unknowing that the pearl will be delivered to you, so you must neither repress nor react to your fear. You must simply sit with it. This state of surrender into not knowing the answers is hugely powerful in its honesty. It is about trusting in the great force field that lies beyond your normal sentience. The force field is always there, but your body usually reacts according to its conditioned programming, coming through the collective fears of the shadow frequency. As you learn to trust your not knowing, life resolves itself effortlessly and beautifully, and a natural process of deconditioning takes place inside you. Generally speaking, this process takes a minimum of 7 years, since that is how long it takes for the body to learn or unlearn cellular patterns. Your real resources lie in your gifts and talents, the inherent gifts that are wired into your DNA. The icing on the cake is that your resourcefulness unleashes a great tide of inner creativity that provides extremely elegant solutions to all manner of questions and issues in your life. The force field of which we have spoken is nothing less than the pattern of life as a whole. As you begin to trust life and your place within the greater weave of this pattern, your natural gifts spontaneously emerge. You begin to realize that you are capable of far more than you ever dreamed possible. When you move in rhythm with life, it reveals its own hidden timing, which is always perfect. It may not always conform to your mental dreams of how your life might or might not work out, but it does leave you feeling deeply fulfilled. Every human being is designed to prosper because life itself is prosperous. Prosperity is an entirely different phenomenon from wealth. To prosper, all a human being needs is a little more than enough, whereas to be wealthy means to have a lot more than enough. Wealth, by this definition, is formed out of the need for security, which has already been shown to be an illusion and is rooted in the fear of the shadow frequency. Whatever your destiny, life will arrange for you to have a little more than you need. For some, that means very little, and for others, it means a very large amount, because different humans live out different human myths. One can tell when a person is fulfilled in life because they find exactly the support they need when they need it, rather than stockpiling in order to try to create false security. Another vital aspect of the gift of resourcefulness is its integrative power. All of your inner talents and resources are ultimately designed with a built-in programming agenda to offer service to the whole. In this sense, all true talent is holistic. Your inner well exists only to serve others. It is they who come and throw the bucket down the well and draw out your resources. Metaphorically, all human beings are designed to slake each other's thirst, which means that you have to interact honestly and selflessly in order to prosper. In serving the whole, you serve yourself in the most efficient way possible. This is why resourcefulness has the power to unite even the greatest enemies. When human beings pool their resources, they become truly powerful. We saw this at the shadow frequency in the case of human beings uniting during common crises or wars. As the frequency of the mass consciousness gradually rises, we will begin to create new ways of doing business in the world. In the future, we will see the growth of a service-based human culture rather than a greed-based culture, and as this culture emerges, humanity will begin to operate as a single entity in perfect harmony with a higher universal rhythm. One final insight that emerges from this 48th gift concerns the way in which human beings currently understand energy. We have created a modern world based on the dynamics of explosion. The internal combustion engine is the invention responsible for the greatest growth curve in human history. We now face an energy crisis as we pass the threshold of peak oil, and our oil reserves and fossil fuels begin to dwindle. As the 48th gift awakens throughout humanity, another breakthrough will become possible. The harnessing of energy through the dynamics of implosion. We have seen that the archetypal nature of this 48th gene key is feminine and inward, rather than masculine and outward. There is a whole new field of understanding waiting to dawn in physics, and as we come to look differently at the world, we will find ways of unlocking energy without the need for ignition. It is most likely that such a breakthrough will come through a new understanding of the force of gravity. When we learn to see through the eyes of the 48th gift, we will unlock the secret of free energy, the infinite resource at the core of creation. This is the breakthrough that will truly herald a new global age, as it will resolve all our energy needs simply and quickly, and will make every home or community clean and self-sufficient. The 48th Siddhi, Wisdom, the Beyondness of Being and Not Being. The 48th Siddhi of Wisdom is one of the truly great Siddhis. Wisdom has been revered and sought by all cultures since the beginning of time. There are many definitions of wisdom, most of them based on the notion of some kind of inner knowledge that allows you to see beyond the confines of what is considered normal awareness. Collectively, the 64 gene keys represent an encyclopedia of the 64 archetypes or codes within the human continuum. At the Siddhic level, however, this differentiated continuum ceases to exist. Each Siddhi uses its own paradoxical language to address that which lies beyond words. In this context, The 48th city is the great archetype of the beyond itself. It is something all human beings aspire to, and at the same time, it is something that terrifies us. The 48th city opens up the void inside you. In a human being, it is the primal state of not knowing. It is a most delightful and infuriating paradox that wisdom arrives through not knowing rather than through knowing. Knowing, that is, knowledge, is something we can always gather from life and experience. To know takes great effort and exertion, whereas not knowing is already there inside you. Everything about wisdom is about being unsafe and insecure. There is a great difference between being insecure and being unsecure. To be insecure is to be kidnapped by fear and taken on an illusory journey that promises final redemption but can never deliver it. That journey is the human journey, and it is ultimately discovered as meaningless. There are simply no solutions because there is no problem in the first place. To be unsecure, on the other hand, is to have embraced your urge to escape fear in every way possible. It is to realize that your body itself is not afraid to die. It is absolutely natural for your body to die. Neither is the mind really afraid to die, since the mind is just an aspect of the functioning of your body. What, then, is it inside us human beings that is afraid to die? The answer to this question is the source of true wisdom. It is the ultimate solution to all our human questions and problems. Only life can answer this question. No words can point to the grand illusion of our existence. When the body dies, its constituent elements will return to the great web of life and continue to be endlessly recycled throughout the universe. What then remains of you? The answer to all such questions is another single question, and no matter what the question, the return question is always the same. Which us? Which you? Which me? There is no me, you, or us. To be unsecure is to be more secure than is possibly imaginable. To be unsecure is to surrender all your inner questions back into the infinite. There is a wonderful story about the great Indian sage Bodhidharma arriving before the Chinese emperor with a shoe on his head. When the emperor asked him the meaning of the shoe, he replied that he wanted the emperor to know right away what kind of a man he was dealing with. This story is symbolic of the unsecure nature of true wisdom. It will not and cannot be comprehended with the mind. From time immemorial, humans have intuitively grasped that wisdom is feminine in essence. The great goddesses of many cultures are representations of this understanding, but wisdom itself is beyond opposites. The nature of the feminine simply points the way towards this embodiment. The images that have been used to describe wisdom are thus feminine in nature. Water, wells, springs, valleys, and darkness are all examples. Water is one of the greatest symbols for the nature of wisdom because its nature is paradoxical. It is empty yet full, weak yet strong, resistant yet yielding. Ultimately, it shapes itself to the vessel it is held in, and when the vessel has gone, it dissipates yet lives on. One who is truly wise is like water in all these ways. You are wise because you do not know you are wise. You are powerful because you do not care about power. You are fearless because you do not really exist. The question of all seekers of wisdom is how to attain it. This is the question at the heart of all the mysteries and of all the great religions and sciences. Modern science continues to try and find the single unified theory that will resolve all questions about the universe. Humanity does not yet realize that the answer to this question will not resolve the universe. It will dissolve the universe. The answer lies within the question itself, just as it lies within the individual. The only true manifestation of wisdom is complete ordinariness. When this city dawns within an individual, a paradoxical sentence in itself, that individual ceases to exist, but becomes an aspect of the whole, functioning spontaneously and innocently. The irony is that this is